This is Radio Superior 1955. A reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s.
Come, let's stroll, stroll across the floor.
This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Tim Michaels dance party.
Now turn around, baby. Let's go once more.
Hey, 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 you guys, dolls, cats, and kittens. Tim Michaels here, dusting off the platters. It's Tuesday, April 19th, 1955. Mike Simonson's got all the great stories. The Foxhole Gang is in to talk about their best buddy who passed away yesterday. And in honor of that same fellow, we're going to do scientific experiments right here in the radio studio.
I'll be leaving now.
Superior State students have all kinds of cool things to explode, electrify, and vulcanize.
For the record, my will is in the bottom left-hand drawer of my desk.
Right next to the scotch. Ross Department Store is footing the bill for the news. Ross is featuring a houseware carnival. You can get houseware items for just 88 cents. Pots, pans, a coffee percolator, and my favorite, a rubber link mat, all for 88 cents at Roth's. And now, at the mic, it's Mike.
Thanks, Tim, and good evening. All the world mourns Albert Einstein's passing as he leaves his brain to science. Chou En-lai charges U.S. subversion in China, and there's trouble doling out the sock vaccine. We begin our world report from New Jersey.
This is Stan Turner reporting from Princeton, New Jersey. Leaders of nations, diplomats, and scientists today mourn the passing of celebrated physicist Albert Einstein as one of history's great men. Messages of tribute poured in from all walks of life for the 76-year-old genius who died yesterday of a ruptured aorta and hardening of the arteries. Seeking to further medical science even in death, he left his brain and other vital body organs to research. It was through his theory of relativity and work in nuclear fission and electronics that made the atom bomb possible. The small, bushy-haired Einstein left his brain to Dr. Harry Zimmerman, a professor of pathology at Columbia University. Zimmerman says he does not expect to find the cells that made him a genius when he examines Einstein's brain within the next few days. Although Einstein's life centered on science, he was vitally aware of world conditions. In fact, Prime Minister Nehru of India received a letter only recently from Einstein, which offered proposals for a five-year truce in the Cold War. The letter was disclosed by the Indian delegation to the Asian-African Conference at Bandung, Indonesia. Einstein's letter proposed that statesmen formulate a long-term substitute for war. He warned that the world would be destroyed by weapons of mass destruction if man failed to find a method of living in peace. The news of his passing also was reported in Moscow by the Soviet news agency TASS, which described Einstein as, quote, one of the world's greatest scientists and physicists, unquote. Similar messages came from President Eisenhower and former President Truman. The flag flew at half-staff at the Institute for Advanced Studies, where the Nobel Prize-winning scientist was Professor Emeritus. Institute Director Dr. J. Robert Oppenheimer says it is a day of mourning for all scientists and most men. Born in Ulm, Germany, of Jewish parents, Einstein fled from Nazi tyranny in the 1930s and became an American citizen in 1940. He did not work on actual development of the atom bomb, but was one of the physicists who, as early as 1939, wanted the government to look into nuclear fission development. In Princeton, this is Stan Turner.
Hello, this is Max Jordan reporting from Bandung, Indonesia. Red China's Premier Zhou En-lai told the Asian-African Conference today that his country is not interested in subversive activities, but instead is being subverted by the United States of America. He told the delegates, quote, if you do not believe this, then you can send representatives to China to take a look. You are all welcome. We do not hide the fact that we believe in communism. But this is not a time to discuss ideologies, but to seek common ground and not great divergencies. He says communist China comes to Bandung ready to comply with the decisions of the sponsoring nation. Aside from the charge of U.S. subversion, most of Cho's speech followed a conciliatory line, emphasizing that, quote, peaceful coexistence of countries with different social systems can be realized. Joe says international tensions have been reduced following the Korean armistice and the Indochina ceasefire. In Bandung, Indonesia, this is Max Jordan.
This is Washington. Lyle C. Wilson, United Press. 47 well-known Americans who call themselves liberals urged President Eisenhower today to take immediate steps to extricate the United States and the world from the present menace of war in the Formosa Strait. They called upon the president in such negotiations to make clear that the U.S. will not commit its forces to the defense of Matsu and Kemoi. The telegram to Eisenhower was made by Americans for Democratic Action, claiming 45,000 members. ADA calls itself an independent anti-communist political organization dedicated to liberalism. Among the signers are Mrs. Franklin D. Roosevelt, socialist leader Norman Thomas, and news commentator Elmer Davis. Affirming their support of U.S. pledges to help defend Formosa and the Pescadores against any Chinese communist attempt to invade Chiang Kai-shek's nationalist refuge, the 47 signers say the case of the offshore islands of Matsu and Kemoi is quite different. The Eisenhower administration has declined to make any declaration now on whether it will help defend Matsu and Kemoi if the communists carry out threats to seize them from Chang. It has said they will be defended if any assault on them appears to be a prelude to an attack on Formosa. New attention was focused on the Formosa Strait when Secretary of State John Foster Dulles flew to Georgia Sunday to confer with Eisenhower and emerged to tell newsmen of a reported big air buildup by Red China opposite Formosa. Dulles says this development has grave implications. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
The Chinese nationalists today speeded up plans to disperse civilians from Taipei amid reports the communists might soon be able to reach the city with jet bombers. The official Central Daily News says the Reds already completed preparations for an attack on the islands of Matsu and Kemoi across the Formosa Strait. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:06. Tim Michaels has this message from Roth's Department Store.
Time to come in and have a bit of fun at Roth's because they're having a Housewares Carnival. Daily demonstrations, gifts to the first 100 ladies, hourly prizes given, and coffee will be served. Gift items, home items, only 88 cents each. Things like aluminum tube pans, aluminum strainer pans, aluminum six-cup percolator, a Pyrex fry pan, aluminum four-quart saucepan, plus an array of other items such as ceramic roasters, china cups, seven-piece juice set, three-piece china luncheon set. That, to name just a few, only 88 cents each, and it's all at Roth's during their Housewares Carnival sale going on right now. Roth's, open 9:30 to 5:30. Their telephone is 47711. Roth's on Tower Avenue in Superior. Mikey?
Thanks, Tim. A publisher accused of inciting to kill Senator Joseph McCarthy has been acquitted. We begin our series of reports from Nevada.
This is Alfred M. Schock in Las Vegas, Nevada. Maverick publisher Hank Greenspun was freed today of a federal charge of mailing matter tending to incite the murder of Joseph McCarthy. A jury of six men and six women acquitted the 45-year-old publisher of the Las Vegas Sun last night after 2 hours and 45 minutes of deliberation. Jury foreman Gail Andrus says, quote, "There was never any doubt in our minds that Greenspun's fiery columns posed no threat to McCarthy's life," unquote. Greenspun, Stormy Petrel of Nevada Journalism, hailed the verdict as an affirmation of freedom of the press. But the jury was convinced by the closing two-hour speech of Edwin P. Morgan, Washington, D.C., mainspring of Greenspun's four-man legal staff. Morgan used Greenspun's words from the indicted column of January 8, 1954, plus many of his own, to lambast McCarthy and McCarthyism. Quoting Mr. Morgan, "Hank was out there calling this monster what he is long before it was popular to do," unquote. Outside the federal courthouse building in Las Vegas, this is Alfred M. Schock.
This is Jack Bell in New York. Manufacturers of the Salk vaccine report that most of the output is being distributed to school children by the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis. The foundation intends to inoculate 9 million first and second graders with each child to get two shots. A booster shot 7 months later will have to come from other sources. The foundation has designated the South as the number one target in distribution. The reasons are early closing dates in southern schools and an earlier beginning of the polio season there. Meanwhile, various groups are expressing concern over fair distribution of the life-saving drug. Bills were introduced in Congress yesterday that would let the president say which order of the vaccine should be filled first to promote public welfare. National presidents of both the AFL and CIO have called for assurances that the serum will not be denied to any child because his parents are too poor to afford it. The American Drug Manufacturers Association is pledging its wholehearted support in working out a fair distribution program of the Salk vaccine. In New York, this is Jack Bell.
This is Pittsburgh, Bill Cortez reporting. Dr. Jonas Salk is back at his University of Pittsburgh Research Lab to begin work on making his anti-polio vaccine 100% effective. He returned to the laboratory yesterday for the first time since the announcement a week ago at Ann Arbor, Michigan, that the vaccine was 80 to 90% effective. He isn't estimating how long it would be before his goal is reached. Quoting Dr. Salk, "One of my main problems is being able to continue work on the vaccine," end quote. Showing some signs of being impatient at the demands for his time since the historic announcement, he declared, quote, "I have a laboratory that has been furnished by public funds. Now, do I use it or do I become a movie star? I haven't found anything that's quite as urgent as developing a more efficient polio vaccine," end quote. Ironically, word came that he was being summoned from his test tubes and beakers by President Eisenhower. Presidential Press Secretary James Hagerty says from Augusta, Georgia, the president has invited Dr. Salk to the White House Friday for a personal well-done message. In Pittsburgh, this is Bill Cortez.
And that's the news, folks.
But you didn't have any local news. What gives, man?
Lou's gone. There's only so much one newsman can do.
Where is that old street fighter?
Lou's on his dream vacation. His first vacation since 1927. He's touring the Wisconsin Roadside Historic Markers.
You mean the historic roadside taverns, all that. Yeah.
That's why Harriet's driving.
You okay, buddy?
I'm fine as long as I don't get blown up by the experiments at the radio station, and I miss Albert Einstein.
We'll remember him the way he'd like, with science experiments live on the radio. That may be a first.
Nobody would do it twice.
Well, the forecast for this Tuesday, April 19th, 1955, showers, thunderstorms, windy and cool, enough to make a skeleton put on a sweater. Tonight's low will be 36, high tomorrow 52. Hey, I think I found out where Lou went.
Where?
I heard a rumor. I heard that he was in Thunder Bay, drove back from Thunder Bay, saw a sign that said Drink Canada Dry, so he turned around and went back. Let's do up our way into the night now. The Cadillacs, latest in Speedo on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Naughty often call me Speedo, but my real name is Mister. Take it slow. I'm not a young girl, but my real name is Mister. Speedo, he don't never take it slow. Well, not a y'all call me Speedo, but my real name is Mister.
From Harlem, the Cadillacs and Speedo on Kickin' KUWS. A couple years ago, they were known as the Carnations. Good career move to change that name. Hey, you guys, dolls, cats, and kittens, something new under the sun. Northwestern Hannah now has an automatic coal stoker that is actually automatic. No fires to build. That's right. Absolutely true. When your thermostat calls for heat, an ignition rod and the stoker kindles the fire for you. Within 3 minutes, you have a fire burning. You don't even have to get out of bed. The Campbell Automatic Coal Stoker for your home furnace is at Northwestern Hanna at 1519 Tower Avenue, dial 45571. Well, now we're talking about some rockin' Cats and Kittens. Here's the 1951 hit. Some say the first rock and roll hit ever with Billy Ward and his Dominoes and the 60 Minute Man on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Minutes of blowing my top. If your man ain't treating you right, come up and see your dad. I'll rock 'em, roll 'em all night long. I'm a 60-minute man. 60-minute man.
Call it
love and then I'll rock, roll all night long. I'm a 60-minute. Of blowing my top. If your man ain't treating you right, come up and see old Dan. I rock 'em, roll 'em all night long. I'm a 60-minute man, oh yeah.
60-minute man. Yeah. Billy Ward and the Dominoes on Kickin' KUWS. Quiz time there, cats. What makes the globe go round?
You ready? You ready? So, come on.
To answer that question, and remember, Albert Einstein is the Foxhole Gang with George G. Newton.
Hiya, Tim boy.
Museum assistant curator Gerald Stone.
Yes.
And Professor Gunnar Gunderson of Superior State.
My privilege, Mr. Michaels.
You know, Einstein's passing yesterday at 76. Now, that's sad. But we're not here to mourn.
Yes, sweet death has its place, except for the few cursed wretches who are condemned to walk the planet for centuries.
I love this cat.
In 1911, Einstein calculated his new theory of relativity, where light from another star is bent from the sun's gravity. For years, he was roundly criticized by fellow physicists who didn't believe light could be bent. But his now famous equation, E equals MC squared, calculated that tiny, tiny, tiny bits of mass could be converted into vast amounts of energy. This theory to unleash the atom led to the development of the atomic bomb and nuclear energy.
Yes, in 1921, he was bestowed the Nobel Prize in Physics, although it was awarded for his elucidation of the photoelectric effect. That was because his theory of general relativity was still quite contentious.
And that's what makes the world tick.
It opened doors for the other scientists to explore gravity and even the structure of the universe itself.
But there's another way Albert Einstein taught us about life. As a Jew, he felt the sting and the danger of racism when Hitler came to power in 1933.
That's right. May I, George?
Oh, please do.
He was visiting American universities in the spring of 1933 when Nazi Germany passed laws barring Jews from holding official positions including teaching at universities.
Yes, they had book burnings, and propaganda minister Joseph Goebbels proclaimed Jewish intellectualism is dead.
There were even rumors that he was going to be arrested. And one magazine ran an enemy's roll with his name in it, and under the list were not yet hanged.
So he did not return to Germany.
Good move. Proves he is a genius.
No, he became a U.S. citizen in 1940. He joined the National Association for the Advancement of Colored Peoples at Princeton. Einstein called racism America's worst disease.
He campaigned for civil rights laws and corresponded with activist W.E.B. Du Bois.
Bet you didn't know that, Tim Boy.
I didn't.
There's more to the man than physics.
Now, who would have known Einstein was such a cool cat?
We just got this story from our AP Wire that Einstein refused surgery on his heart. It would have been his second surgery in the past 8 years. He said, quote, I've done my share. It is time to go, Tim.
For EMC Squared, here are the Spaniels and Good Night, Sweetheart, and the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Good night, sweetheart. When it's time to go. Good night, sweetheart. When it's time to go. I hate to leave you, but I really must say, oh, good night, sweetheart. Good night. Good night, sweetheart. When it's time to go. Good night, sweetheart. When it's time to go. I hate to leave you, I really must say. Oh, good night, sweetheart. Good night. Well, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Baby, I just can't get right. Well, I hate to leave you, babe. Don't mean maybe, because I love you so. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. I hate to leave you, I really must say. Oh, good night, sweetheart. Good night. Mother, oh, and your father, like it if I stay here too long. One kiss and the clock, and I'll be going. You know I hate you so. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. I hate to leave you, I really must say. Oh, good night, sweetheart. Good night.
The Spaniels, the 1954 hit Good Night, Sweetheart on KUWS. Okay, cats, time to flip your lid and you can hear it live on your radio. Take it, Mike. Nice helmet and goggles.
If I had a suit of armor, I'd feel a bit safer. Let me introduce Superior State Rural Development Head Director Harley Erickson and Speech Department Chairman O. Gail Mannion.
Now, we're still here, too.
Yes, the potential for carnage is great.
My colleague, Dr. Erickson, will walk us through some simple scientific experiments that I assure you will do no harm. Right, Harley?
Now, you got another helmet, Mike? Maybe one with a face shield?
Can we start with a volcano? That sounds killer, baby.
All right, that's enough. There'll be no mad scientist experiments in my studios. As chief engineer in charge, it is up to me to keep the equipment safe from lava flows. It's in my job description.
Chief Engineer Joe Gardonio, who I couldn't agree with more.
We're going to start with a human light bulb and show you how electricity can be fun.
I love shocking people.
I know this trick. It's great. Let me handle this. First, Let me take your fluorescent bulb, then, hey, Jerry Stowe, turn out the lights.
Oh, sure. I adore darkened rooms.
Now, let's use Mike's wool sweater here.
Remember, I'm still in it.
I rub Mike's tummy at a furious rate. Boy, your pants sure are pulled up high.
I like my pants up high. That tickles.
Okay, holding said bulb by its end wires. Careful not to touch any metal object, or the static electrical shock could be quite devastating to said metal object and person inside wool sweater. Voila!
Ooh.
The human light bulb!
Hey,
although a body can generate as much as 10,000 watts from static electricity, the amperage is so low that it doesn't pose a threat to wool sweater-wearing newsmen.
Up next, the human volcano.
Not human volcano, but a volcano nevertheless.
All right, here's Ruth Braun backed up with the Drifters and Oh What a Dream on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Woke up this morning and I looked around so disappointed. What a dream, what a dream I had last night. Dreamed I held you in my arms, but I'm still waiting for that day to come. Oh, what a dream, what a dream I had last night. Dream we were walking down the aisle. The organ was playing. Here comes the bride. You looked down at me. You began to smile. When I looked around, everybody began. I opened my eyes. You weren't there. All of my happiness just disappeared. Oh, what a dream. What a dream I had last night.
Atlantic Records' Miss Rhythm, Ruth Braun's hit from last year, Oh, What a Dream, made it big on the 1954 R&B charts. Okay, cats, it's volcano time.
I don't know. The human light bulb is one thing, but these lab volcanoes can be pretty messy, bub.
Just think of it, Joel. Live. On the radio. Never done before.
Nor there are no surviving witnesses.
I got salt, though. Baking soda. Liquid detergent. Vinegar. And some red food coloring for that nice lava effect.
Yes, I recall Mount Vesuvius in A.D. 79 in all her glory.
look, guys, I'm not chickening out here or anything, but how does this honor Einstein? I mean, let me demonstrate how I can show your voice on my oscilloscope. It's real keen and won't spew lava onto anyone.
I'm standing this soda pop bottle in the middle of a baking pan. built the salt dough around it.
Yes. Do you mind if I stand behind you?
I'm standing behind Mike.
And I'm behind Joe. What is this? A conga line?
I have warm water mixed with the red food coloring. Now 6 drops of liquid detergent and 2 tablespoons of baking soda. Get ready for the coup de grace as I slowly pour vinegar in the bottle.
Vinegar too fast.
Oh, the humanity.
Extremely cool. Or hot.
It's all in the vinegar and baking soda, really. Quite a chemical reaction. I love doing this at parties.
Probably ruined a few tablecloths.
A small price to pay for science.
Well, time to get out of here or put out the campfire or volcano or whatever. How cool was that there, gang? Coming up on KDAL-TV tonight at 6:30, it's the Bob Cummings Show, then Milton Berle, Uncle Milty, Life with Elizabeth, and Victory at Sea. We'll be back same time, same place next week, the good Lord willing, and we can escape the lava flow.
It's Pompeii all over again. Not to worry, not to worry.
For Mike Simonson, this is Tim Michaels wishing Albert Einstein a good night wherever you are in the universe.
You botched it, fella. I'm telling you, you used too much baking soda.
Maybe the recipe said teaspoons, not tablespoons.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1955, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Duke Skorich, Don Hansen, Al Katz, John Munson, Kent Vogel, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1955 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.